Thank you everyone for your attention to all three talks today. We've got some time left now, so if you have any questions or further clarifications that you'd like to ask of any of the Sangha members, the monks and nuns available. We've got some free time at the moment, and there's also some more food still left over if you need some more sustenance to propel your diligence. So at the moment we've just got some mingling and QA time if you have any questions you'd like to ask.
Okay, any questions about the talks? Yes, please.
Thank you all so much. That was, all talks were extremely interesting and helpful and very comprehensive.
Thank you.
Presented beautifully. What I had two questions. One was if you could talk a little bit about the follow-through that caught my attention, and I'm not sure if you could elaborate on that a little bit. And then I was just very curious about this, is there, for a beginner practitioner, can you give some examples of objects to focus on?
Mm-hmm.
Even for the everyday person, whether they're Christian or Buddhist?
Yes.
I'd love to know. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, I think wherever Yen Rong can, you can start. Gives properly a breathing meditation will be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of the second question about some basic objects that you can focus on for a beginner, commonly what you would find is the breath. In various practices and various traditions of Buddhism, you'll come across the breath. But with the meditation on the breath, there's also various methods on how you use the breath. Some people will tell you to just focus on the sensation of the breath going in and out. And in particular, they'll tell you you focus on the sensation either at the tip of the nose or just above the lip, only because normally we're not too accustomed to sensing that area. So it's a bit that area is not very sensitive. So in order for you to develop the ability to sense the breath coming in, it slowly also helps you to develop your awareness and your focus. However, for some people, they'll teach you that you count the breath. And when you count the breath, you count it as a full breath going in and out, and that is one. And you will count up to 10, and then you restart. But with the condition of that method is that you must be absolutely clear about every single breath, the in motion and the out motion. So the inhalation and the exhalation has to be very clear. And with each count. What this means is sometimes you count and you go, one, two, and by the time you get to three or four, your mind's actually elsewhere. There's a slight, in the background, you feel you're still counting, but your mind's actually gone off to think, what am I going to make for dinner? Am I going to be late for this event and so forth? So when you catch yourself, when you catch the mind wandering off, you go back to one. You start again. You don't continue. You don't try and find, where did I count up to before my mind started wandering? So each time the mind wanders, you go back to one. And that's why often they'll just give you to the number of 10, because if you do try and do that, you'll find that counting up to 10 in a very conscious way is actually not that easy when your mind is scattered for a beginner. But for some people, they do find it quite easy, like myself. So that method doesn't work for me. And you then have to use a different method. And the method I was taught is to actually follow the breath. and you follow it as it goes in, and then you also feel it in terms of the breath when it goes inside, and you feel the chest and down to the stomach as the air fills up and so forth. So the breath is a basic and very common, and I would say a fairly safe method to use. But depending on the teacher you follow, how you actually apply the breath will vary. Another method that I find very good for beginners is actually metta, or compassion meditation. And that is a meditation practice where the teacher will actually give you guidance, and you develop, you know, this sense of compassion inside of you, and then you start to send out your loving kindness and compassion. And when you send out that compassion, it follows in stages. So you send it to yourself first, and then to the people close to you that you can easily develop compassion and kindness towards, such as your family, your friends, and so forth. And then you slowly expand the arena of people that you encompass. And eventually what you want to be able to do is to even sincerely send compassion to those you dislike. You know, maybe your annoying neighbor or something like that. So I find that that type of meditation can, because it's a bit more involved, you have to do a lot of visualization sometimes and a lot of thought process, but the mind is focused on the aspect of developing compassion and then sharing it with others, and to do it with sincerity, utmost sincerity. So those two are practices that I would suggest for beginners, are very safe and also very encouraging, because when you start to practice either the breathing meditation or compassion metta meditation, you actually start to feel the effects of meditation more easily. Some of the more complex ones, like the skeleton and the decaying body, you don't do that after lunch.
You need to expel the desire.
So those objects are actually, because every object has its counteracting purpose. So if you're someone that gets angry easily so forth, then metta meditation, compassion, is a very good meditation to help you deal with that that anger and frustration and so forth. So with meditation on impurity and the skeleton and all that, usually the teachings, the sutras will tell you that that's more if you have a specific, like if you have a lot of craving, a lot of desire and so forth, then you would use that because it'll help you to see that things are not as desirable as you think. When you look at it carefully and you look at it through the process of decay, you'll start to see that what you thought you wanted and so dearly longed after is actually not something you would like when it turns into that state, and eventually everything will decay. So these are all different methods to tackle different defilements at different times.
Can you repeat?
The first question about follow-on, what did you mean by that?
I think it was in maybe the beginning of your talk, and I think it was about with a scattered mind and not a focused mind, it's difficult to follow through. So maybe through the practice of... it's okay.
You mean at the very beginning, our mind still very scattered, so how can we help our mind to become focused? Were you talking about this?
I think so. I have a lot of difficulty.
Oh, I see.
Through.
Okay.
So, that struck me as that is the result of the scattered mind that makes it difficult to complete tasks and follow through. I just was curious to hear a little more, but I think, you know, based on everything I've heard and learned today, to find the tranquility and everything you've shared, that will probably help with the follow through.
So the question is, yeah, okay. From my experience, but different practitioners may use different methods. My experience is, we can recite some short, text sutras. For example, Heart Sutra, very short, in Chinese version. I'm not sure in English version. Difficult to memorize. Is it? Okay.
Very long in English.
Very long in English. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So all short sentences. Yeah. Yeah. Or, one thing. You can practice metta meditation first because you need to recite mentally. May I be calm, peaceful, and happy. May my neighbors, may my parents be calm, peaceful, and happy. Something like this, and you this. Will help you easily focus your mind. Yeah, yeah, you can try it and come back to me now. This is my contact information. Okay. Any questions? Yes, please. Yeah. Would you like to join us?
I wanted to know, there was three talks, but you guys mentioned the point of it all is to help all sentient beings.
Yes.
But also there was a point when you said that the point is to get to understand the emptiness.
Yes.
Or to become emptiness. So I just don't know how those two go together, or how you can have both. Like, if you're empty, then where's the desire to want to help the people?
Okay, yeah. This is a very good question. Yeah. Me? Okay. Although, yes, I can start shortly and then you answer the question. Okay. So, emptiness means it has the function to destroy selfishness. Selfishness. Can you catch the point? So once you destroy your selfishness, you can help sentient beings without any limit. Can you catch the point? So this is the function to understand the emptiness. Once you realize the emptiness, you gain the wisdom, and you can do any beneficial deeds, or you can do any beneficial deeds without any fear. Can you understand? Yeah, let's.
The emptiness is scary, so.
Oh, really?
Like, I think the emptiness would make me think that If I was to empty it out,
then
I wouldn't have it to give to anyone.
Well, the situation we exist is called emptiness. Can you understand that? This means there's no fixed entity. Everything is changing. Can you understand? Yeah, yeah. Yes, so things haven't achieved, you can achieve. And things you want to change, you can change. Something like our bad habits and some virtues we want to achieve, we have the possibility or the potential to achieve. Otherwise, anything fixed. Nothing can be achieved. Make sense? Okay, yeah.
I think our teachers already answered it very well. Yeah, but emptiness is not scary. It's actually it's a very nice feeling that you do something without being selfish. You don't want anything back. You fully concentrate to do well-being for others. It's a very happy experience. And when you don't aim at getting things back, people are not fear of you also. So you're doing it purely with compassion and helping them. So you don't have attachment of what you're doing or who you do it for or what you will get back. Yeah. So you just do it and then it naturally will have good karma. Yeah. And you don't be afraid of emptiness. Emptiness, as teachers say, is non-fixed state. Yeah, everything with a cause and condition, it will keep changing according to the conditions. So you don't have to be afraid. And I'm sure if you accumulate more good merits and virtues, things will get better for you and for your people around you. So it's not afraid for me. I mean, the more I understand with emptiness, the more happier I feel and I overcome my difficulties. Yes. Is that okay?
Okay. Yes, please.
Thank you. I'm so curious about the object of your meditation being
yes.
a skeleton.
Okay.
it's important that it be a very familiar object, that it absorb your interest, of course. So a skeleton is a pretty unique. I mean, there's 200-some-odd bones in the body. Have you studied the skeleton so you know the bones and how they're aligned? And then you
can
move around the skeleton and explore. Today it's the hand, tomorrow it's the foot.
Okay, my method probably a bit different. So the skeleton is object of meditation which remind me do not attach our body. The final state is like this. So when I visualize the image of skeleton, I can sort of expel my desire, so something like sensual desire. Although I'm a monk, but sometimes some bad thoughts still occur to me. So to visualize the skeleton, that person is become neuter object. I mean, if I see a beautiful woman, yes, yeah, so skeleton. Nothing interests me. Makes sense? Well, and this is my practice, but different practitioners may have different approaches. Would you like to share? Okay. Yes. Yeah.
I just try. I heard that. Okay.
Yes.
I heard that you don't have to know all the details of the bone of the skeleton. You just get a rough image on it, and then you use that image in your reflection or in your concentration. Yeah, that is how a beginner start from practicing this skeleton meditation.
But if you were to do this for 20 years.
No, but I didn't practice this. I practice metta, I practice breathing. Not all the techniques I experienced.
Well, this is just one of my practice. My main practice is breathing meditation. But when I have some bad thoughts, I use to as the remedies. Yes, exactly. Excellent.
One thing I want to share with you. In the past, when I start thinking about, I always like looking pretty and go shopping. I mean, in the past, okay? And one variable, told me, she said, why don't you go back and find a picture of a skeleton and you draw it? So it spent me some time to do a very nice drawing. It takes me 2 days because I can really draw. I do a sketching and it looks very good. And she said, I only do the skull. And she said, why don't you do the whole body? Oh, okay, so I go back and do the whole body. And after I sketched the whole body of the skeleton, and she said, what did you find out? You know, after spending time with sketching the skeleton, you have a good image comes back in my mind. I can remember what I draw. And then after that, she said, when you look at people, what did you see? And then she said, I said, oh, okay. And she said, later, just think about them like your drawing. They actually looks like your drawing. So you don't have the desire and attachment. And you should, like, slowly put down, you know, the desire of going shopping and always dress fine and look good. And she said, later, at the end of the practice, you will see everyone walking on the street like a skeleton. I said, well, that just look too scary. I mean, she said, that is only the way to treat that affliction when I have the desire. So if you understand that, you don't have to keep practicing that. I mean, the methods can keep changing, I think.
Yes, so this is the remedy to counteract the desire. Once the desire disappear, back to our metta meditation. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we don't become pessimistic. No.
Pessimistic.
Can you understand? We are still optimistic. Yeah. Although I see everyone is like skeleton walking, but I still can have compassion toward all sentient beings. Okay. Well, we still got some time. Any questions? Yes, please. Yeah, this lady.
I have a question about the mental object.
Uh-huh.
And if the mental object is the light,
mm-hmm.
and it's how could we practice during daytime? It's already very bright,
mm-hmm.
and if I meditate, and it's difficult to keep stick on to the same object at night, probably it's okay. Because I think they're like either the firelight or
mm-hmm.
the sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Just very weak,
yeah.
Compared to the daylight.
If I want to stick to the same object, like from day to night, how
am I going to
do this?
Okay, my experience is, have you tried to face the sun? No. Close your eye.
Yeah.
You can still have the feeling or image of the light. Yeah, remember this image. And once usually when we choose the light as our mental object, we are trying to counteract the sleepness. So when we get topped, we visualize the light, and then we become more alert. And you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes. So remember the image when you face this, probably 10 o'clock, but not 12 o'clock, too hot. So you try to face the sun, close your eye. You can have the image in front, before you, and remember this. And when you feel sleepy, visualize the image. And that will help you counteract the sleepy state.
Yes. I understand that the teaching from the Buddha that counteract the sleepiness.
Uh-huh.
But is it possible that I can use the lights as the mental object to meditate?
Have you heard of this? Usually it's used for remedy, as a remedy to counteract sleepiness.
So it's not advisable to use it like regular?
Maybe you well, no, I can't suggest or encourage. Probably better to find an experienced practitioner. He practices this, and then he may guide you how to practice this way. I don't have such a experience to use this as my main practice. Usually I use the light as the mental object to counteract the sleepy state, situation. Clear?
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, please.
My discipline, my training is when I feel drowsy.
Drowsy, yeah.
I open my eyes. That helps too.
Yes.
You know, if you don't like to visualize some other object, I tend to open my eyes for some time.
Good.
And then when I regain my
energy, yes.
Close my eyes again.
Yeah, good comments. And also, it reminds me another skill, which is to change your posture. You can become, you can practice walking meditation. If you feel very sleepy, and I suggest go to bed. Yeah. Yeah. Don't feel guilty. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Yes, please.
What I learned is Amitabha.
Oh, good. Pure Land practice. Good.
Easy to get to.
Yes, exactly.
So,
yeah.
My question is, if I were to meditate, visualize that Amitabha
Buddha
most of the time.
Yes.
Do you think it's considered attachment?
It depends. Well, it depends. You need to examine your thoughts. Can you catch my point? Well, if we have attachment, we can feel not very at ease. But we don't have attachment, we feel very relaxed. Yet you need to examine your mind. It's not, there's no fixed answer to your situation. You may have attachment to Amitabha Buddha. You may not have attachment. But one thing is, at the very beginning, we need some sort of attachment or good intention to climb up, and finally, we let go. Can you understand? So at some certain level, we can have sort of attachment or sort of good intention. Yeah, and then we can reduce the degree of the attachment or intention. Finally, we realize that the emptiness, realize the truth. We transcend duality. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, well, it's a long time to go, a long way to go. Yeah. The main thing is you approach the Pure Land first, and everything done. No, not really everything done. You don't have to worry to regress. Yeah, you won't. How can I say? Everything is positive layer. Many people will help you progress. Yeah, so don't don't worry about it. It's, okay. Any question? Yeah, we well, it's 8:49. I think we should stop now. Better. So can Venerable Yanrong guide everyone to transformation.
Okay, so to cap off the night, what we would traditionally do is a dedication of merits. Because when we come to listen to the Buddha's teachings, there is good merit in that. But we want to share that merit with other beings as well, with our friends, our families. And we do that in a mental way. So what we would do is I'll just talk you through a guided dedication. Usually we would put our palms together and close our eyes. The main focus is to concentrate ourselves. So if we put our palms together and close your eyes and you think with your sincerity, recall all those that are dear to you. Your family, your friends, those who have helped you. And then we think further and start to encompass even more people and other beings. With the merits gained from listening to the Dharma, the joy that I have gained from increasing my understanding, I dedicate these merits to all sentient beings. May they be able to share in these merits and experience the joy that I have attained tonight. May all beings be able to experience happiness, peace, well-being. So take some time to think about those that are dear to you, and in the similar way, dedicate your loving kindness to them and wish them well. Wish them happiness, joy, and safety. Keep that kindness in your heart and bring it back with you and allow it to shine with you through your day and your nights. Thank you. So thank you for attending tonight and hope you all have a safe trip home.